Let's open to the New Testament, Gospel by Matthew. We're going to get in a moment to the 18th chapter. On our way there, let me do this. I regularly have to explain things. You have to please excuse me. I have a house full of little people, and so they regularly ask me to remind them what we're doing. So let me tell you, 22 weeks ago, we started on the disciplines of a godly life. Discipline as in my responsibility. It says in 1 Timothy 4:7, we are commanded to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. God has done His part. He saved us, given us a new heart, paid the price for our sin, filled us with His presence, living within us. We have to do our part. We have to make choices that will encourage the denying of ungodliness so that we can serve Him. So those are the disciplines of a godly life. We've gone through several. Now we've gotten to meditation. Now meditation I call having a word-filled life, that my life is full of God's Word. This is our fifth week looking at that. And what we're looking at this morning is how prayer fits into that. In other words, how do we have prayers that God hears and answers? And what kind of prayers come out of a life that's full of the Word of God? And that's what we're going to see this morning. But look at Matthew 18 and verse 19. I'm going to give you a brief survey of why we would even cover this. Why do we need to talk about prayer? That's one of the simpler things that anybody can be involved in. Well, let me show you something. Most of us, if we think about it, are a little uncomfortable about. Verse 19 says this, and we're looking at Jesus saying some words that if we understand, lead to the most fruitful, joyful, and powerful spiritual life there can be this side of heaven. Yet these words we're going to read in this and six other passages often scare us. We think maybe he meant something other than what it says. And we ask ourselves, what does it mean? When Jesus talks about prayer, he talks about it in a way that makes us feel uncomfortable. Verse 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them. Now you say, wait a minute, 18th chapter, we're talking about order in the church and discipline and sinning brethren and how we deal with that. Yes, but this isn't the only time he says that little phrase. Look at that. Anything they ask, it will be done for them. I hope that unsettles you, because is anything you pray for answered? We should ask that, because who's talking here? Jesus is. Okay, let's go to chapter 21, Matthew 21. Same person talking, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he says in verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer. Now you might say, what does the Greek for whatever mean? I'll tell you, whatever. Okay? Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. It's a very powerful statement. Next book, let's go to Luke, two books away. Go to the right, Matthew, go through all of Mark, keep going to Luke chapter 11. Remember, Jesus speaks more about prayer in Luke than any other gospel. And he says the same thing. Look at Luke 11 and verse 9. So I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, ask and it will be given to you. And there are no codes in there. There isn't something else. It's just ask and it will be given to you. I hope that makes you think. I mean, that's an unbelievable promise. Now, it gets worse. John 14, next book to the right. We always go to the right. We're a very right-leaning church here. John 14, 14. And look at this, because John gives the most clear-cut expression of this concept. John 14, 14. Recording the words of Jesus, speaking to us as he did to them, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Personal promise. What you ask for, I will do. Amazing. Next chapter, chapter 15, verse 16. John 15, 16. You did not choose me. And I know he's talking to his disciples, but you're going to see by the time we get done, he's talking to all of us. I know he's talking to his apostles right at this time. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And the application is it's to us too. We are also chosen and appointed to bear fruit for him, and that our fruit should remain. But look at this, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now we've got God the Father involved. We've had Jesus making all these promises. Now we have Jesus bringing our Father in heaven into this. And in whatever we ask in Jesus' name, he will give it to us. Next chapter, look at 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing, and most assuredly I say unto you, look at this, the end of 23, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Verse 24, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. See this, ask and I will answer, I will respond, I will give to you. Now, John wrote a concluding book, 1 John 5, all the way to the right, to the end. Go to the maps and back up, past Revelation to 1 John, 5th chapter, very, very near the end of your Bibles. And look what it says in 1 John 5, 14. And I love this. This is the seventh and last passage we're going to look at in this context this morning. Verse 14. Now this is the confidence we have in him. This is at the end of the New Testament canon. This is one of the last things the early church got. And he says, church, the Lord is speaking. The Spirit's inspired me to write this. This is the confidence we have in him. And there weren't any apostles left besides him. So he's not talking to apostles now. He's talking to pure church, to us. And he says, we believers alive at the end of the first century have this confidence and we share it with them. Look at this. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And he qualifies that in verse 15. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Now, I hope that makes you pause. Do you have that confident of a walk with the Lord that anything you ask, he'll answer? How is it possible to have that? I know that some strands of Christianity talk about this and they apply it to your health. And I've met people and they say, oh, don't talk to me about anything negative because it'll harm my power and my prayer. And I thought, you know, what an unusual way. And they're praying for health and their prosperity and to get this car and house and everything. But doesn't this sound, what we just read, too good to be true? So we think about it. We know it's true, but we don't understand it. And so we just go on. And we don't do what it says. Because there's one little qualification that was showing up in all those verses I read. Did you notice that? Did you notice how he said, he says, if you obey me, if you are in my will, if you keep my word. That comes to the heart of it. To solve the great mystery is to unleash the great power of prayer. Let's go back to John 15. Since you already know where it is, we'll back up to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Because I want to underline one little phrase in the 15th chapter of John. Jesus is speaking about prayer. And he says, this is going to unleash the greatest prayers of your life. Listen to what Jesus said to them back then and to us today. John 15:7. And since I surveyed you back when I was doing my doctoral work, I know what versions of the Bible you all are holding in your hand. So I'm going to read from all of them. All six of them that you all said you read from. First of all, look at the seventh verse in the King James. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's the key, you shall ask what you will and it will be done. And this is what you New American Standard Bible people have. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. And this is what you NIVers have. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And those of you with the New King James, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And then those of you with the New Living, but if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. And then those of you that like that Eugene Peterson paraphrase. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be assured that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Conclusion. The key to unleashing prayers that God hears and answers, the key is they must flow from a word-filled life. Look what it says in whatever version you have. They all say the same thing. My words, God's word. You say, wait a minute, Jesus is speaking. Which ones are Jesus' words? Which ones do we have to have abiding in us? Just the red ones in the first four books of the New Testament? No. Because we know, as Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, that every prophet in the Old Testament that wrote any portion of this book All 66 were inspired by the Spirit of Christ. So literally, truly, biblically, theologically, every word in this book is the word of Jesus. So if you want a really good Bible, paint them all red, okay? They're all red letter. You know, some people say, oh, I just read the red ones. Well, paint them all red because Jesus inspired them all. And the key to unleashing prayers that God will always answer is to have them flowing from a word-filled life. The question is, how do you do that?